David is all ready for bed, and he wants to talk to you before he goes to bed.
Hi. Hello, plate.
He likes his plate.
Milk.
You drank milk in the cup. Tell him the cup was broken. Little piece on the handle.
Piece of milk.
Who fixed it?
Kurt.
Kurt fixed it. Mm-hmm.
Not bit.
Now it's all fixed. Yesterday when it came, he was just ready to eat some soup for his lunch.
Me
so he
too.
Ate soup in his bowl, didn't you?
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
And
tell him what came today in the box.
Came by.
What?
The jacket.
The jacket. Yeah. You like it?
Yeah.
What color is yours?
Marker.
Yours is what color?
Marker.
Mark's is what color?
Oh, no.
You don't know? What color is your jacket?
Oh, no.
You don't. Tell Daddy you're going to bed.
Going to bed.
Say night-night, Daddy.
Night-night, Daddy.
Love you.
I love you.
Do you want me to kiss? I hope that came through. Now David is in bed under protest. And I'm trying to remember when I talked to you last. It seems to me that it must have been two nights ago. Anyway, maybe it was 2 days ago. Thursday night, the Fielders came over to call, and I found the place on the tape where you told about Gerald Fielder, and they were just real thrilled because he is a cousin of Mr. Fielder's. The father of Gerald Fielder was the one who was a missionary to China for about 30 years, and he preached the ordination sermon when Edwin Fielder was ordained, and they think a great deal of him. And it was so exciting for them to hear you tell about the school there. And they were real happy to know that you might have them aboard for church Sunday. Night before last, David's temperature went back up, and so yesterday morning, it was still up. He had kept me up about half the night, and he was just miserable. I don't think I ever saw him when he couldn't find a comfortable spot. He just panted for breath and rooted around and was just so uncomfortable. So I called the doctor yesterday morning. He said, bring him back in, let him check him. I took him in, and he checked him very carefully, and he couldn't find anything else wrong with him, except that his temperature was back up, so he advised me to put him back on 3 doses of terramycin a day instead of the 2 that he had told me to cut him down to the day before. So I did, gave him 3 yesterday and 3 today, and he's fine. Oh, got up too early this morning. You know how it is on Saturday morning, the one time we could stay in, Mark was up, had his bed made, and was dressed before 7 o'clock. Very shortly thereafter, David called, Mama. And that was the end of my rest. Yesterday, after I came back home from the doctor's office and fed Bill and David, Bill was still home yesterday. His fever has gone down, though, and he's just getting along fine. I guess you understood from the first of the tape that the package came just at lunchtime, and David was so thrilled to get his little plate and his bowl, and the just a little chip out of the handle of the cup was the only thing that was broken. And it was very easily mended. Kurt mended it for him today. And he was so excited. Then I put him down to sleep, and Bill went back to bed to rest a while. Then I went down to Mr. Uchi's to see if he had a big tree. I had reached the conclusion that before they poured the cement for the patio, I would like to put a bigger tree in. The little Brazilian pepper was just going great guns. It was just beautiful, lots of new growth on it, but it was too short. So I wanted to get a taller tree and get in so that when they poured the patio, we'd have something in already for shade. And I got a beautiful Modesto ash. It has nice little thin sort of silvery green leaves, and it's very pretty. I think that it will, before you get back, actually will have enough growth to give us a nice little bit of shade. And then we moved the pepper tree around into just about the middle of the front yard. And Kurt was very helpful and very cooperative. He dug up the hole I dug down, oh, I guess 6 inches or more in the front yard. And he got the pickaxe and dug on down and got it in. And he helped me move it around. And it was just very cooperative. And I certainly appreciated it because I never could have done it all by myself. Just before we decided to plant the trees, as soon as Kurt got out of school, I gathered him up and ran him down to the hospital, and we got through the business of making out his charts and checking with the screening nurse. So he has an appointment for the 7th of June. Provided it doesn't interfere with the final examination, we'll keep it. He's going to find out Monday. But he'll start on a series of tests to see if we can find out why he's always so pooped. And I wanted to do that yesterday because I had gotten a prescription from Dr. Belford. He had given me one for quite a lot of terramycin tablets. He said he thought it'd be a good idea for me to have them on hand just in case some of the other children came down with the same thing that Bill had. And the prescription had to be filled within 3 days, and it was the one that I had gotten day before yesterday. But we've got that business of Kurt seeing the doctor in the mill now, and that's a help. Yesterday morning, while I was dashing madly around trying to get David ready to take him into the doctor, the phone rang, and a voice said, "Virginia?" I said, "Yes." He said, "This is Jim Kelly." And he said that he had a little bit of news that he thought might be of interest to me. He said that they had just gotten word that the Bayfield would be due back in on the 26th of September. And I said, "Well, that's very fine, except that, you know, MJ isn't on the Bayfield any longer." And he says, "Oh, well, all the ships are due in then." So that was just wonderful. I was so happy. That cuts 3 weeks off the time, and every little bit helps. I don't know whether you all have gotten the word or not. Maybe I'm telling tales out of school, but that's probably why your request for all the ports of call and so on was turned down. We got a tape today, by the way, along with the jackets and the box of stationery. And in that tape, you said that the Commodore's request for going to Borneo and all those other places had been turned down. And so I suspect that may be why. Anyway, why ever you're coming on back early, I'm all for it.
Hello, Daddy. This is Kurt. I got your letter today and the things that were enclosed, and I thank you very much. I haven't got much else to say, but I'm working on a four-dimensional super cube in my room. It's made out of toothpicks. I'll write you and tell you about it. I think tape's about to run out now, so I'll leave.
The boys were real excited over their jackets. I suspect that David's is not going to be big enough for him very long. Of course, they all had to put them right on, but they're just about to pop the seams. They're narrow through the shoulders, it seems, and a little bit short. Hi, darling. What a wonderful surprise this morning it was when the telephone rang while I was cooking some pancakes. I had just switched off the little rotisserie stove, you know. I was sitting by at the table frying pancakes, and the stove was a little too hot, so I had just switched it off when the phone rang, and Mark answered it, and he couldn't quite understand what the operator was saying, so I went over there. I had a funny feeling, and sure enough, she said, it's the overseas operator, and she had my husband on the line. So we were all excited. I was trying to get the kids to run get the others to get on the other phone so they could all listen in. But I don't know whether it was satisfactory to you or not. We were all happy to hear your voice, certainly. David was so cute. I went over to Evelyn's a little while afterwards to get the chain and a stake that she had bought for their little dog. And she had a collar, a little harness thing that someone had given her that was too small for their dog. So I brought it over to put on to Shadow to keep him off the cement today and just fit him perfectly. And David was telling Evelyn that he talked to his daddy, and he was so thrilled. He turned to me then. He said, talk daddy another. I told him no, he couldn't talk to another. But he was a little bit confused, I think, because he talks on the tape to you, and then he doesn't hear a reply. And this time it sort of awed him, I think, to hear your voice talking back to him. Of course, it wasn't really your voice. I don't know how ours sounded, but yours it was a typical shortwave deal. But it was wonderful it was you anyway. I thought we had told you what color our doggie is. He's all black all over except a little thin line. There was a little sort of a pin line right down his nose, the front of his face, but it seems to have disappeared. And now there's just a little white underneath his throat. And the rest of him is, his paws are a little bit white. Some of them, not all of them. But his coat is getting so beautiful. It's so slick and shiny black. I suspect that he's not altogether just Toy Collie and Shepherd. In fact, his coloring reminds me a great deal, and his coat, too, of Princess, our Cocker Spaniel in Italy. However, he's beginning to shape up and look like a pretty little fella. He's always been pretty, but he's better looking now than he was even when he was small. And I think that he will have a nice build. He's lengthening out now, and he's going to be a little satisfactory. I don't know how big he is going to get. He's about 5, almost 6 months old now, and he's not as tall, not quite as tall or as long as a Cocker Spaniel without all the fuzz and curls, you know. It's kind of hard to tell. But he's a nice size, and I don't think he'll be very much larger. Anyway, David has grown up with him sort of now, and he's not a bit afraid of him. He can lie down on him and just do almost anything he pleases, and Shadow just takes it. But when anybody else does, then that's a different matter. I'm standing here by the sliding glass doors looking out at our beautiful patio. It will be beautiful anyway when we get some of the things done around the edges of it now. But there just had to be a place to start, and this is it. I just told Kurt I wanted him to get out this afternoon and finish spading up that little corner outside the fence where I was trying to make a flower garden. It's a blessed good thing I hadn't done that last week like I almost did, because yesterday when they got ready to pour the cement, Mr. Winder just lifted up that gate post that you had put in, the one that the gate was swinging on, and then lifted out those panels that had been slipped down in, and they were able to back the cement truck right back up into the yard and pour it right out, and it was so much faster and better than have to try to wheel it in. So when they got ready to put the fence post back in, one of the men said, did you see that little bit of cement around the bottom of that post? And I said, I just don't want any comment on that fence post, please, sir. My husband did that. I said, that's the first time he ever put a fence in and a gate post. And I said, I think he did mighty well, and I just don't want any comments on it. And they looked kind of funny. They came about 4:30 yesterday afternoon and leveled it off a little bit and truck with the cement. The first great big one came about 4:45. And they were all through pouring at a little after 6, but it took them until 11 o'clock to get it finished off. I didn't realize there was so much to do. They tamped it down, you know, and with a little gidget with holes in it, and then they went over and over and over and over it, smoothing it and scraping it and leveling and then going over and finishing it, and then they had to smooth off the steps and round the corners and all of that. It was just amazing how much time it took. With one man that did the most of it, Mr. Winder, was just down on his knees on these little knee boards and had knee pads on for hours, it looked like, out there. And I said to him, you spend more time on your knees than most preachers I know. And he says, well, I spend about 15 or 16 hours most days. I don't know how he takes it, but he does a very fine job. It must be about 4 inches of the slab depth, that is. There's more than that, the rest of it. Well, the man, I think I wrote you that the man came and quoted me a price on the shadow covering that I had in mind, the posts going up and the little cross pieces. It was $138 installed, I think. You know, I was just thinking last night, remember when we got that $400 for my travel money and we went over to Blue Pacific and asked them how much of the patio that they had sketched for us they could do for that, and then we, evidently it wasn't enough for them to even bother with because we never heard any more from them. And this, even if I went ahead and had the whole thing done, would come less than $400, and we'd have about 3 times the amount of cement and about the same size covering, of course without the alcinite. But Floyd said he got an estimate from Whiting Mead for I think, is it a 12 by 18 or a 14 by 18, and his was to be covered with alternate panels of alcinite and that aluminum like we looked at too. And it was only $175, I think he said, for that size and covered. So it may be that Whiting Mead would give me a lower bid on the little deal that we need. I'm not going to do anything about it right yet. I'm going to wait until I hear from you, and if you give me the go-ahead on it, I'll probably inquire a couple more places before I decide who's going to do it. I think Bill has finally gotten around to the point where he's going to come and talk to you.
Hello, Daddy. This morning, Mark always kept on, and this afternoon too, Mark always kept on saying, Mama, is the mist dry? Can we go out and play tetherball? And because it feels like it's pretty dry. Mama let us go out and put our initials real little in the corner. And he felt it, you know, we all felt it. And it felt hard, and so he was just begging her. But we still didn't let him go out, or she didn't, that is. And we went over Walter's. Oh, yeah, Mother already told you that we went over to Yasha's house and got the leash. And let's see, anything else?
Who did you talk to this morning?
Oh, yeah. Well, you already told him about that.
I told him how I felt about it. How did you feel about it?
Well, it didn't sound like him, like I told you on the telephone. It sounded like a different man. But when you, it was either to Mark or to me, I don't remember, said something like, your voice sounds good or something, so you must have heard us better than we can hear you. Here's Mother.
They forget to make allowances for the little things. Well, I'm just so glad you did call. I'll be glad to pay for that birthday present for you, darling. I would have done it from this end of the line, only I figured if you ever got around to the point where it was convenient and you wanted to call us, that you would. You knew I'd pay for it. After all, whose money is it, huh? I don't know whether I ever remembered to tell you or not, but June the 9th is also Evelyn's birthday. So she wrote, when I mentioned yours one day, she said, well, I'll have to write Walt and tell him if he's anywhere around Chaplin on the 9th of June to wish him a happy birthday. She's a little bit younger than we are. Not an awful lot, but let's see. I think she's 3 or 4 years younger than I am. I was just thinking. We've been married almost 20 years, but I'm just as foolish about you as I was when you were 23. Even more so. It's amazing, the years of living together just give one a deeper and richer closeness. There's so many things that we have shared together, even aside from our children. Just the two of us when we're together, I feel just like a bride, only much, much more so, because it's just the sharing and the wonderful, wonderful companionship and joy that we've had together as man and wife that makes our life together so wonderful. And I do hope that the next 20 years will be just as wonderful and full of joy and excitement and even sorrows as the last ones have been. We've just grown so much closer. I feel that I can anticipate your thoughts and your desires and your needs now so much better than I could when we were married. That's the way it should be. Of course, it doesn't help much from this distance to know what you need and not be able to do anything about it, but I guess it does even so. It's wonderful to know that there's you need and how to answer that need. All we need to do now is just get together on it. But we will. It'll be so wonderful when we do. Bill has already decided that he's not going to have a birthday until you come home, because it's the next day after his birthday. Good morning, darling. It's just exactly noon on Monday, the third day of June. I was trying so hard to get this thing set up so that you could hear the dogs in the neighborhood howling when the 12 o'clock siren went off. You know, they blow the air raid siren on Mondays at noon. And Shadow was right here on the back stoop, and he's gotten to where he sounds almost like a hound dog. He cries and moans, and I was trying to get it set up, but I was all thumbs. I couldn't make it do. It kept slipping out, and I couldn't get it right, so I missed it. I'll have to wait another week, and maybe I can think of it a little bit earlier next time.
Hi, Bubbly. Oh, hurt me.
Okay.
Shadow
chases the butterflies, doesn't it?
Yeah. I can't. Daddy.
Tell Daddy about playing on the patio, honey.
I'm playing patio.
Ride your what?
Ride my bike.
No.
Burn me, Daddy.
Oh, it's hot today, isn't it?
Burn me.
Did it? Hey, what happened last night before you went to bed?
Bed.
Tell him that you and Susie.
I'm by Susie.
You're asleep. Look, baby.
Hi.
Remember your bath?
Remember?
Bubble bath with Sweetie.
Remember? Remember?
Oh, now, tell Daddy about it.
Hi, Daddy.
You had such fun.
I burned my finger.
Yes, he burned his finger.
A white butterfly.
A white butterfly? Is that what it was?
Yeah. That's a butterfly.
Yesterday afternoon, Evan came over. The children wanted Walter to come and play tetherball on the new patio court. So she said, if you're sure it won't bother you. And I said, well, I frankly am not even going to pay attention to him because I'm just going to stay right on in bed. I had stayed in bed all day Saturday and all yesterday until really late yesterday afternoon. And so she came on over and at just about training union time, about an hour before, she said she had to go home and get the kids dressed for training union. All of her supplies, you know, because they're leaving in a week from Friday. And so I said, well, I've got ham in there, and I've got some of that white cake with the chocolate sauce underneath it that I had baked Thursday night, I guess. David, please sit down. You're going to break your neck in that rocking chair. Sit down. So she says, well, let me go in and fix supper for them then. So that's what she did. I told her there was plenty there for everybody. She fixed supper for them, and then Mark and Bill and Kurt and Lee and Walter got ready and went on over to training union, and Evelyn stayed and cleaned up the kitchen. About that time, Floyd came over bringing back all the things that he had borrowed for his afternoon dinner party that he had again. He's planning to have that thing every month. I had a long talk with him the other day about it because it just doesn't seem to me that it's smart for him to undertake to do all that himself. And several people had asked me who was bearing the expense of it. And I said, well, so far as I knew, he was doing it all so far. And they said, well, they wanted to have a part. So I told him that I thought he was going to lose some of them if he didn't allow them to carry their own weight. And He appreciated it.
I guess fools rush in where angels fear to tread. But anyway, I felt like he needed somebody to talk to him. And I did. And he said, well, he had just been waiting to see what was going to develop. He wanted to continue with them, but first he said, well, there really isn't much expense. I said, now, Floyd, don't tell me that, because I know we have had groups of people and fed them, and you cannot tell me that there is no expense connected with it. And he looked kind of funny. He says, well, I figured it up, and actually, a dollar a meal would take care of everything for each person. And I said, well, that's reasonable enough, and anyone going out to eat would certainly not get a nice meal like they've been having for less than a dollar or even a dollar. So anyway, he had brought back the things. I had been planning to make the coleslaw for him, but Saturday morning I just called him, croaked out that I was not able to do anything, so I let him borrow our little grinder chopper thing. And he made it, and he returned it, everything, with some food, too. He said they had a bowl full of, well, they had quite a lot of salad left, and they had plenty of everything. He brought some of the ham and some of the sweet potatoes and some rolls that they had left. And after he left, Evelyn and I were tasting the salad, and I said, you know why there's so much salad left? Because it doesn't taste good. It didn't have any seasoning in it, and it didn't have, it wasn't dressed properly. It didn't have any spicy taste to it at all. It was just bitter. The cabbage was not real sweet. And when you don't have real sweet cabbage, you have to camouflage it with some real spicy vinegar and sweetened vinegar dressing. And anyway, by the time I got through messing with it, it tasted pretty good. And by that time, I was getting real hungry myself. I hadn't eaten anything. So we nibbled around.
I got some pictures of it.
That ain't easy.
I couldn't get any pictures of that, but boy, you could almost see it.
I thought I had the curtains drawn. Yep, our line's still working, darling. Isn't it funny? If you got tapes the other day, you probably realized that about the same time you started fooling around with them and cutting in on what was said before, I had done the same thing. Oh, I tell you. Two people can't live together as wonderfully as we have for as long as we have and not vibrate on the same frequency. That's what's so wonderful about it. That's what makes it so hard when we vibrate so far apart. Boy, I hope today isn't an indication of what it's going to be like all summer, because it is really a scorcher. It reminds me horribly of Clarksville, only we didn't bring our air conditioner. But I don't think it will be like this very much. I wonder if my patio out back, no, I don't think that's made any difference, actually, because even around front, the heat just seems to rise up and smite you in the face when you walk out the door. But there's a little breeze starting up again now, and I think it'll begin to cool things off. Yesterday, it got real hot up until about, 1 or 1:30, and then the most wonderful breeze came up, and the breeze was actually chilly, but the sun was still real warm, and I went out late, and Evelyn and I did, and sat out on the patio. I pulled off my shoes. I didn't have my shoes and socks on. Anyway, I sat out there barefooted and browned my legs a little bit, my lower limbs, and it was so nice. We are certainly going to enjoy it. Just wish we'd had it earlier. Maybe we wouldn't have appreciated it as much. And as I think back, if we had had it done when we had that money before for my travel money, we would not have had it like this. It never would have been as satisfactory, I'm sure, because the nature of things, the discoveries we made along, as how the grass wouldn't live if it weren't watered, and if it were watered, we'd have nothing but mud tracked in and all of that. So it's best that we fooled around as long as we did. Little old David gets out there on that tricycle and just kites around. He hasn't quite learned to sit on it and pedal. He can reach it, though, well enough that he can pedal from, you know, sort of coast from one foot to the other if somebody helps him a little bit. But he just puts one foot up on the back of it and gives himself a shove with the other foot, and off he goes. He's so cute. He's not going to be a little baby at all anymore when you get back. He's losing his baby look so fast. It just makes me sad, because this is it. I sent you a letter this morning. More and more I realize how fortunate I have been to be able to make these tapes and send to you, because my handwriting is something gruesome. It makes me ashamed to send it even. And I did include some comics from Pogo and Peanuts, and you'll enjoy those. Anywho, I guess you can translate my scratching. But this is so much more satisfactory, because I can just run in whenever I think of something I want to say and punch the button and talk to you. And then when I get tired of talking, I can punch it again and listen to what you said before. And no matter how many times I hear it, it's still new. It even hurts to have to record over it and blot out things you've said, because you always remember to tell me you love me, and I never can hear that too much. Silly, I know. But we love you too, don't we, David? Tell Daddy you love him.
I love him, you.
Yeah. Did you love Mama a while ago?
I played that. Uh-oh.